Respected Chairman of the meeting, Dr. Nair, Revered Father, the dignitaries on the dais, and my brothers, it is a matter of joy and pride for me to be here with you, because there is now a mood to understand each other. When we understand each other, the natural implication of it is that we would love each other. And that is what the Hinduism preaches, the Christianity, Islam, every other religion preaches, that we live with love as brothers on this earth and have a happy life. I am supposed to talk to you about the concept of God in Hinduism. The basic idea about the concept of God in Hinduism is that the Lord, who is omniscient, all-powerful, all-pervading, the Lord, He is the source of this universe. He is the sustenance of this universe. And also, He is the sanctuary, the source, the sustenance and sanctuary of the manifested universe is the Lord. That is the basic idea. All of us have, the whole universe have come from Him. It lives in Him and it goes back to Him. We live and move and have our being in God. That is the, at the spiritual level, it means that. So that is the basic idea. Now, what about that? There are three entities in this universe for us to understand. We are trying to understand from time immemorial these three entities. The man, inquisitiveness, to understand what is God. His inquisitiveness to understand what is the word that we confront. What is the relationship between we, the mortals, and the Lord. That relationship, that is the great subject of great study in Hinduism. God, world, man. How do we understand? How are we related? These three things, how are these three things related to each other? That is a great subject in Hinduism to understand of study. There are three philosophies, three types of philosophies in Hinduism. And all these three philosophies have their own approaches. But ultimately, I think all of them converge into one concept. Three philosophies in Hinduism is Advaita Vedanta, Advaita. The other is Visishtadvaita. The other is Dvaita. Dvaita we understand. The Dvaita philosophy will tell us the Lord, the repository of all auspicious qualities, from whom the world has come into being. We are in Him and we go back to Him. He is our supporter. He is the source of all that is auspiciousness, goodness, nobility. God, we are eternally related to Him as a servant or as a son. That is to say, philosophically speaking, that is to say, Dvaita philosophy will say, we and God and ourselves, individuals, we are eternally different entities. We are different and the Lord is different, but we are eternally related to Him. We are dependent upon Him. We depend upon Him for everything and of everything. So we have that separateness from Him. Also they hold that the world also is different from God and the human living being. So the living being, the inanimate objects in the world, and God, these three, there are three entities, and they are eternally different from each other. That is the view held by the Dvaitins. The other soul, which is Advaitins, qualified monism. They say, no, we are not distinct, we are not separate, we are not complete, qualitatively we are not separate from him. We are distinct, true, but qualitatively we are not away from him, distinct from him. They give us an example. There's a huge fire and sparks come out. Qualitatively, the spark and the fire is the same. It's a fire. The one is a huge fire, the other is only a particle. But then, yes, in essence, in quality, it is the same. In the same way, we are part of the Lord. We are not away from him. We are not distinct from him. We are qualitatively alive. We are part of him, and the world also is part of him. There is no separate entity, distinct entity, as the human guidance insists. We are part of him. The world is part of him. Everything is. It is he who is manifesting himself as the world and the living being. Then we come to the third point. Advaitin. Perhaps the Islam philosophy is all more or less close to the Advaita philosophy of Hinduism. The Advaitins will not accept these two points. They will say all the three philosophers, all the three systems, what they, the common point among them is that what you say that the Lord is the source, sustenance, and sanctuary, yes, true. We accept, everyone accepts, because that is proclaimed in the Vedas. Vedas are the ultimate authority for the Hindus. Just as Quran is the ultimate authority for the Islam, just as Bible is the ultimate authority for Christian religion, for the Hindus, it is the Vedas. Vedas, they are, that is the ultimate authority for the Hindus. Then you may ask me, what about the Ramayanam? What about the Bhagavatam? What about the so many Puranas, so many scriptures that the Hindus have? Yes, they have all secondary importance only. First comes Vedas. And they are divided into four. Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. Then comes the next in importance comes Itihasas, because you would like to know what the inside of the Hindu philosophy and religion. That is why I am elaborating a little. Itihasas, Mahabharata, you have heard about, surely Mahabharata, you have heard about Ramayana. These are the two Itihasas in Hinduism. Then you are also familiar with the Bhagavata, other Puranas. Puranas, 18 Puranas, the most common among them is Bhagavata. That is to say, most popular among them is Bhagavata. Then there is Shiva Puranam, then there is Vishnu Puranam. In all these things, in all these Puranas, what is done is, the ultimate reality, the ultimate reality, which they qualify in the Vedas proclaim about that ultimate reality. What the Vedas say is, Yetam sat vipraha bahutha vadanti. Truth is one. The sages call it by various names. Truth is one. God is one. The ultimate reality is one. The Lord, who is the source, sustenance, and sanctuary of this universe, is one. But he is called by different names by Vaishnavas. They call him by the name of Vishnu. He himself is called by Vishnu. The worshippers of Shiva will call him by the name Shiva and give that form. The worshippers of Shakti, the worshippers of Ganapati, there are six religions among the Hindus itself, there are six religions. Just as Islam and Christianity, there are six individual entities. There are six religions in Hinduism. Vaishnavism is one thing, one religion. Saivaitam, Saktaitam. Saktaitam means people who accept the ultimate reality as Divine Mother, as Shakti. Then those who believe in Ganapati, Sri Bhagavan Ganapati, then those who believe the Subrahmanya as the ultimate reality, as the most powerful manifestation of the ultimate reality, then there is one school of thought, one religion in the Hinduism, who accepts the sun god as the veritable manifestation of the supreme reality and worship him, worship the ultimate reality through the sun. There are six religions, but it does not mean that these people belong to these six religions, worship different gods. No. Ekam tat vipraha bahusa vadanti. Truth is one. Truth is one. The Lord is one. But he is worshipped by various groups in various ways. That's all the difference. Say vipraha bahusa vadanti. The sages call him by various names. Just as in a lake there is water. One takes a little bit of water in the hand and say, this is water. The other one, somebody from Dr. Nayak may say it is Pani. We may call it by a different name. Yes, there are different names for the same subject, but then the material, the object, the material is not different. Water is the same, but there are different names for the water. The difference is only that. Although there are six religions in Hinduism, although the ultimate reality is worshipped as Shiva, as Vishnu, as the Devi, I want to emphasize this point that they are not worshipping different religions. No, not at all. It is the ultimate reality. It is the same God proclaimed by the Shrutis, by the Vedas. It is the ultimate reality. Everyone is worshipping through this form, through this name. Therefore, there are these six religions in Hinduism, but although they have different concepts, different they worship the Lord, ultimate reality in different ways, but they are worshipping the one and the same God. Philosophies, three types of philosophies, and when we come to the Advaita philosophy, the differences are only apparent. They are not real. Ultimately speaking, if we have come from him, the world has come from him, we are non-different from our soul. The ultimate cause. The cause and effect. The world is effect. We all form part of the world. The universe is effect. The cause is the ultimate reality, the Lord. So we are the cause manifesting as effect in quality, in essence, in substance, substantially. There is no difference between him and the manifested universe. We are the same. We are the same. As according to Advaitin, the Lord has no form. He has no form, absolutely no form. The Vaishnavas will say God comes in the form of the most auspicious form of Narayana. But when it comes to Advaita, they do not say that God has any form. They insist that God is formless. But they insist, they drive the point home that we are non-different from our soul. The ultimate cause is the supreme being, and the effect is the manifested universe, and therefore they are non-different. It is the same Lord who is pulsating in this universe. It is the same Lord. You see, one of the most important ideas, concepts in Hinduism is, it is the same Lord who activates, who pulsates in the hearts of all of us. It is the same Lord. It is ultimate reality. The omnipresent present Lord. The omnipresent Lord. We accept Him as omnipresent. He is present everywhere. And He pulsates in the heart of all living beings as their self, as the ultimate individuality of me, of you, everyone else. Ultimately, it is He who is manifesting as X, Y, Z. Therefore, there is substantially, there is no difference between the Lord and the world, all of us. Antaryami, there is a concept of Antaryami, the indwelling spirit. The Lord is the indwelling spirit of the whole universe. He is present everywhere, and therefore, by virtue of that fact itself, that He is the indwelling spirit of all of us, of the ultimate reality of our individuality, the Lord Himself. If you give up the concept of the God, if the mind becomes absolutely quiet, when you go to sleep, and when you are in deep sleep, the mind doesn't function there. What happens there? There you are alone. Nothing else. Nothing else to disturb you. You are alone there. Therefore, you are happy, you are blissful. How do you understand? When you wake up the next morning, you report your experience in the deep sleep and say, well, how beautifully I have slept last night. I did not know anything. That is your individuality. That is your real personality. And if that consciousness can be called up throughout the waking state, then you are one with the God all the time. You experience God all the time. We bring the kingdom of heaven in the heart. You feel the presence of the Lord all the time. I think ultimately speaking, whether it is Hinduism or Islam or Christianity, He is taking humanity to that level where we feel the presence of our Creator all the time in our heart. Where else do we experience Him? We experience Him in the heart. So the ultimate aim for us, every individual, every human being, is to have this feeling of the presence of the Lord in our heart. As I said, there is a clue. The feeling of our own blissful nature we experience in the state of deep sleep. That blissfulness. That at that time we are one with the Lord. There is nothing to disturb us, nothing to distract us, not even dreams. Even then, in the dream state we are distracted. But when you are in the deep sleep, there is no distraction. Therefore you are one with God. Therefore you feel the blissfulness. And so, in the waking state, throughout your life, if you can create that kind of awareness, putting the mind at rest, all the time, we are in the presence of the Lord. We enjoy the presence of the Lord. There is no difference between me and you. There is no difference in this universe at all, except one. Everyone is loved. Everyone is worshipped as Narayana. Everyone is worshipped as Narayana. Ultimately speaking, that experience, that elevation, raising the human mind to that level where we can experience the Godhood. That is our ultimate goal according to Hinduism. Thank you very much.